been using, I guess, phrases that we hear in the media over and over, commercials over and over, or out about over and over. And so I guess 4 weeks ago, I preached on a biblical view on my body, my choice. And so we saw what the Bible says about our body and some choices that we make. And so forth. And then I talked about mental health, and that obviously is a real issue in our day and time. And a problem with both those that we talked about is a lot of people leave God out of the equation. I'm for help whatever you need, but please do not leave God out of the equation. Last week we preached on living my best life. And of course we saw some tips that the social media or the world gives us. We did not read the books that were listed to read because there were curse words all in them. And we saw that the 12 top books to read on how to live your best life, the Bible wasn't listed in them. And so, again, I had a problem with them excluding God. I want you to live your best life. God wants you to live your best life. He says that He came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. He wants you to have a great life and so forth. So today, in I guess light of having a couple of baptisms today, that's what we're going to preach today, is a biblical view of baptism. A biblical view of baptism, and the rest of it is it a part of salvation? Is it part of salvation? So that's what we're going to preach about today. We've got 4 or 5 points here in the introduction. I'll give you 4 points to the outline, and then we'll close with a couple of baptisms today. But baptism, obviously, this is a Baptist church, and we are going to baptize a couple people today. So we are for baptism, because when I get into this, there might be a little indication that I'm not for it, all right? But I am for it, and so forth. And so, it says Baptist church on the sign. We are going to baptize. It's one of the ordinances of the church. But we want to look at a biblical view today, just like we looked at all those other ones. But a biblical view, and you're in Ephesians 2, and I'll be there in just a minute. But Ephesians 2 gives us a biblical viewpoint of baptism. Is it a part of salvation? In our day and time, the devil, his most successful devices today is to get men to think of something other than Jesus Christ to save them. Because he doesn't like Jesus and so forth. So he wants to get anybody anybody that will think of any other salvation than Jesus Christ. Or if he can't do that, he likes to put an addition to Jesus. Okay, if you're going to believe in Jesus, but let's add this to it. And so again, we talked about this in Sunday school. The devil is the author of confusion. That's what he's tried to confuse. He tried to confuse Adam and Eve. And he got them to eat of the forbidden fruit. He's tried to confuse people from that day forward. And so he can say, let's think about salvation, how to get to heaven. Let's put it on your own goodness. That just makes sense to us. If my good outweighs my bad, I'll get in. All right, that's what he wants us to put our focus on. He says, hey, let's put your focus on church membership. And I'm for church membership. I'm a pastor. I'm going to say, hey, I want you to be saved. I want you to get baptized. And I want you to join my church, okay, or our church. And so that's just what pastors do. But Satan wants us to say, okay, let's put our focus on being a church member. As soon as I become a church member, okay, I'm going to heaven. You could join every church in Spencer County, and that wouldn't get you into heaven. Church membership didn't die for you. Then keeping the sacraments or keeping the Ten Commandments or just obeying a bunch of rules. Again, our rules here are come as you are. Our rules here are is what the Bible says to get to heaven, things like that. And other than that, I want you to grow. That's our theme this year. I want you to implement all the things of the Bible, and that's between you and God. Now, I'm going to preach them. But we're not going to say you have to keep this rule or you're not going to heaven, or you have to keep this rule or you're not going to heaven. We're not going to do that. Here's another one, reformation. Turn over new leaves. Do a 180. Add some good stuff to your life. This is what the devil will say. And then there's some ministries out there, just give me some money and I'll talk to God on your behalf. We'll get you in. All right. I've seen, TV evangelists, send me $1,000. And I'll put your name on the brick and put it in the gospel road out there in our atrium out there, and that'll get you to heaven. Not thinking. If you want to give me $1,000, I'll put it in the offering plate and we'll use it here. But that's not going to get you to heaven. That's not going to get you to heaven. Right? I mean, we're commanded to do that. That is an ordinance in the Bible. And we ought to do that because we are saved, but not to get saved. So, number two, there are many, many different religions out there in this world, but there's only really two teachings on this subject. One is salvation by grace. The other is salvation by works. That's it. I mean, you can tag, you know, whatever church it is, there's some that'll fall under the salvation by grace, and there's some that'll fall under the salvation by works. Salvation by grace, that's us, that's what we believe here. We would say this: I can't save myself. My good will never outweigh my bad. I can't turn over enough new leaves. I can't join enough churches. I can't keep enough laws. I can't do that. So I need grace. God is the one that does the saving. It is totally unmerited. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We can only accept it by faith. And God does the rest. Number three, the other side, the teaching of work salvation. They say, they would teach you, some would say that you have to do some sort of work, whatever it is, to get saved. And then you have to keep doing that work to stay saved. That's what they teach. We teach here, and I believe the Bible teaches this, you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He died on the cross for you. He paid for your sins. He's the only one that can do that. That's how you get saved. Don't earn it. You just have to accept it. That's a gift that He bought. And how do you keep it? Same way. I mean, I've sinned more since I got saved than before I got saved. We can just do the math. I was 10 when I got saved. I'd only had 10 years of sinning. I've been saved for 45 now. I've had lots more opportunities to sin. Now, praise God, different ones. There was some that I haven't done any since I got saved. So praise the Lord for that. But I can't earn my salvation. I can't keep myself saved. So Ephesians 2:8-9, that's where we are. Some would have even said, you know, you get saved by grace. In other words, they will say what you want them to hear or what they want you to hear. But let me say that again. They will say what you want to hear. But then their teachings don't back that up. There's some religions out there, for instance, let's say, you know, we're pretty much King James Bible here. And so there's a religion out there that says, if you'll join our church, we will give you a King James Bible because we believe in the King James Bible. So all of us has heard that all our life. Oh, must be good. Then they say, but we have this other book we're going to give you along with the King James Bible. Same thing. Oh, we believe you get saved by grace. We believe that, but we say you need to get baptized also. So in other words, anything that the devil can do to lessen Jesus. I think Mary is a wonderful woman. God picked her to birth His Son down here on the earth. But she didn't die on the cross. She didn't raise again. She didn't pay for my sins. I think she's a wonderful woman. So that's what I'm saying. I'm not going to add stuff. That's what they said. So Ephesians 2:8-9, let's look at it. Here's what the Bible says. And I don't think, I've read it several times before I preach this message today. I don't think the word baptism, baptistry, any other variation of the word baptism is in this verse. But listen to what it says. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace, what's grace? That's getting something you don't deserve. None of us deserve heaven. But if we'll accept Jesus as our personal Savior, we can have it. He promises it. He's not going to give it to you and take it back. So, for by grace are ye saved. In other words, I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to hell. I'm saved. Through faith. Okay, we've never seen Jesus, but we have to by faith believe Him. We weren't there when He died on the cross, but we have to by faith believe that He did. We weren't there when He rose from the grave, but we got to by faith believe that He did. That's what He says. For by grace, I'm going to give you something you don't deserve, and you can be saved and go to heaven through faith. Here it is. That not of yourselves. In other words, we didn't have anything to do with it. It is a gift. Not of works. I mean, pretty plain. Lest any man should boast. And you know we would. I mean, right now, there's people boasting all over social media. I drank my coffee and read my Bible this morning. Check it out. What are they doing? They're boasting. I got up and ran a 5K this morning. You know, and here's my time. What are they doing? They're boasting. Here's my cute little innocent kid. And it's probably because the kid's asleep, right? All right. They're boasting about their kid. So that's just what we do. We boast. We boast about our looks. I got some extensions. I probably need to get some. All right. Look, I've lost weight. I've done this. Post. Talk. And what I do is, we just boast. Some of us boast about our education. I can't boast about that much. Now, I do have a high school diploma. I do have a couple of degrees that I've earned, but, what you see is what you get. All right? Some of us boast about our money. Some of us boast about our possessions. Some of us boast about tasks that we've completed. All of us, if we have kids, we'll boast about our kids. My kid's the smartest. He's the most athletic. She's the prettiest. That's just what we do. So if we could get salvation on our own, we'd just add it to the list. I did this, and I'm going to heaven. Send it around the world. All right? Talk. That's what we would do. That's what God says here. It's a grace. You can't earn it. You just got accepted by faith. It's not of works. Why? Lest any man should boast. God knows He would hear us going, I got to heaven because. So, we would do that. We'd boast about it. But salvation is not of works. Number three in the introduction. Salvation cannot be a combination of grace and works. And you can turn there if you want to, or you can just write this down, or you can just remember it. Romans 11:6. So we see, for by grace are you saved through faith. This is not of works, lest any man should boast. And here's a verse that says it can't be grace and works. We can't combine it. It says here, if it be grace, then it's no more of works. So if it's a gift of grace, something we don't deserve that God gave us, it can't be of works. Otherwise, grace would be no more grace. In other words, it would make the grace disappear. It would be all on your works. Then it says, but if it be of works, then it's no more of grace. Otherwise, the work is no more work. And so right here in Romans, it says here, it's not of works. Number four, baptism is a work of righteousness. And I've got a verse that proves it, and Jesus Christ Himself is the one that says it. So baptism itself is a work of righteousness. And it says right here, it's not of works. Jesus said to John, when he came up and he said, John, talking to John the Baptist, John, baptize me. I'm paraphrasing here, but John's like, whoa, you're Jesus. You're God's Son. I'm not worthy to baptize you. You baptize me. And so here's what Jesus said to John. Jesus had to put his foot down and said, John, I said, baptize me. Sir, yes, sir. All right, and he baptized him. All right, but it says in Matthew 3:15, and Jesus answering said unto him, talking to John, suffer it to be so now. So he told John the Baptist, you baptize me right now. And then he goes on to say this, for it becometh us, talking about me and you and the disciples that were with him, Jesus and John and the disciples were with him, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he suffered him. So in other words, when Jesus said, it is a work of righteousness, John, you need to baptize me right now, John did it. But Titus 3:5 says this, not of works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. So just like grace a while ago was something that we get, heaven, that we don't deserve. It says in Titus that it's because of mercy. Mercy is something that we don't get that we do deserve. In other words, heaven is grace. I don't deserve to go to heaven, but I got it by faith. I deserve to go to hell, but I'm not going to have to. Why? Because of the mercy of God. So again, it's not about that. It's about God's grace and God's mercy. Number five in the introduction. Salvation by grace through faith is in Jesus. It's not in baptism. It's not in Jesus and baptism. All right? It's just in Jesus. God's plan and His only plan has always been and always will be by grace through faith plus nothing. I'll read you a verse. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven whereby among men whereby we must be saved. So Jesus Himself is the only means of salvation. So that brings me to Romans 1. That was my introduction. Romans 1. Here's this. Plain and simple verses that prove it. So I'm basically going to give you 4 or 5 verses here, plain and simple verses where it says that the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus. Not through Jesus and baptism, not through Jesus and giving, not through Jesus and keeping the law. It's just through Jesus. A biblical view here. The first one is in John 3:36. John 3:36, you can write these down. I'm going to read them to you. It says this, "He that believeth on the Son hath," our word would be "hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him." So plain as the day is long. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not hath not life. There's not the word baptism is not listed in there. The word giving is not listed in there. The phrase keeping the law is not in there. Only thing it says is that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not doesn't have it. And that word hath there is present tense. In other words, as soon as you believe, boom, not when you get to heaven, not when you turn over some new leaves, not when you get baptized, not when you keep the law, it says hath. I mean, right then and there. He that believeth hath the Son, or hath everlasting life. He that believeth not hath not life. So here is the Bible promise that if you believe on Jesus, you have everlasting life right now. Not something that's going to come. So it is something that's not going to happen as soon as you get baptized. Here's the second verse. There we go. Not this. This. John 5. There was the 5. John 5:24. John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily." Again, basically that means truly, truly. Or this is the truth. This is the truth. "I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life." So again, we see here, both these verses say you believe on Jesus, you have everlasting life. If you don't believe on Jesus, you don't have everlasting life. Not a phrase or a word of baptism in there. The third one, John 6:47. John 6:47 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." So the moment that you believe on Jesus, you've passed from death into life. You're not under condemnation anymore. You're not going to hell. And you are saved. The next one, the Bible, the people believed that they were baptized because it was they get baptized after they get saved, because here is a reference, and I've been in a Baptist church all my life, and I've heard this statement. We're going to follow the Lord in what kind of baptism? Who can tell me? Believers. There we go. We're going to follow the Lord today in believer's baptism. So in other words, that comes after you believe. Not alongside of it, not with it, or that's what you know. It says believer's baptism. Acts 2:41, "And they that gladly received His word," they got saved, they asked Jesus Christ to save them, then they got baptized. So not along with it. Number 5 verse, Acts 8:36-37. Acts 8:36-37. It says, "The Ethiopian eunuch asked Philip, see, here's some water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, thou mayest." So the belief had to be there, and then the baptism. So it's not simultaneous, it's not essential, it's not with it. So he that hath everlasting life, the moment he believes, and then he gets baptized after he believes, is clear. That's the way you get saved. So baptism is not essential for salvation. If one must be baptized after he believes in order to be saved, I'm going to give you a personal illustration here. Why in the world, if you have to be baptized to be saved, why in the world would I have told Morgan three Sundays ago, when she got saved, okay, you can get baptized whenever you want if you want to invite some people? Why would I have told Elijah 2 Wednesday nights ago when he got saved right there in my office? Okay, you're saved now, but you know, you can invite all your loved ones. You can invite some people to come watch you get baptized. Why would I let them leave if they needed to be baptized to get to heaven and take a chance of them being in an accident and dying and going to hell? I would have said, right after Morgan got saved there in the Sunday school class with my wife, hey, come on, I'll baptize her right now. We'd have come out of my office, Elijah, come on, you've got to get baptized now because something might happen to you between now and when all your relatives can be here. So we see that it's not part of salvation. You ought to do it after, but biblical view. John 3:18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned," not going to hell, "but he that believeth not is condemned already On their way to hell. He that is not believeth in the name of the only begotten Son. So a person is condemned to hell because he's not believing, not because he's not baptized. So believing basically means to put your trust in or depend on. I watched all of you come in this morning, not all, but most. And you didn't get down on the floor and look at the support system underneath those pews. You didn't grab it and give it a shake. You didn't jump up and down on it. You just came in here and plopped down. Right? Why? Because you trusted it. You put your trust in that. I'm not even thinking about it. I'm just going down and it's going to hold me up. That's what that's talking about. If I'm going to get to heaven, I have to plop down, put my trust in, depend on Jesus to get me there. Not that or not anything else other than Jesus. So in other words, it's not, I'm going to believe on Jesus 90% and the baptism 10%. No. 100% on Jesus. So we see, number one was simple verses, plain and simple verses that prove that Jesus is the only way to heaven, not baptism. Number two, the Old Testament proves that you're not saved by baptism. I had never thought about this until I was studying this. Not one time is the word baptism or Baptist listed in the Old Testament. Not one time. Not one person. Not Noah. Not Moses. Not Elijah. Not Nehemiah. We could go through the whole prophet's list. Not one of them got baptized. But Hebrews 11 says they are up there in that great cloud of witnesses watching. So if they didn't get baptized and they're up there, that's not part of it. Not one person in the Old Testament got baptized. The only one I can think of that got in the water like that was Naaman, and it didn't call it baptized. It called dipped. 7 times he had to do that. All right? But it wasn't a baptism. So it's not part of salvation, the whole Old Testament. So you say, well, how did the Old Testament people get saved? Same way as we did. What they did, they put their faith in what Jesus was going to do on the cross. Us, we put our faith in what Jesus did do on the cross. You get saved by faith, not by dipping or not by getting baptized. So water baptism was not necessary for salvation. None of the Old Testament characters did. So the first mention of the word Baptist is in where John the Baptist started baptizing his followers. So these people did not in the Old Testament. They just did it by believing on Christ. The illustration that I read in one of my study books back there was talking about a tree and giving an illustration of how the Old Testament people, let's say they were looking this way. And it's kind of weird because I don't know that I've ever leaned against a tree this way. I've always leaned against a tree this way. But anyway, let's say the Old Testament people were leaning against a tree this way. Us New Testament people are leaning the tree this way. So we're leaning on the same tree. We're just facing a different direction. That's exactly how they got saved. But baptism was not a part of it. So both was trusting in Jesus to get them to heaven. Acts 10:43 says this, to him gave all the prophets witness, talking about those Old Testament people, those prophets, he gave them witness through the name of whosoever believeth on him shall receive remission of sins. So it was plain as day back then that they got saved the same way. They had to accept Jesus' blood for the remission of their sins. Number three, some New Testament stories. So we saw some New Testament verses that didn't have anything to do with baptism to get to heaven. Nobody in the Old Testament ever got baptized, and they're in heaven. Here's some people that were actually in the New Testament and they didn't have time or they didn't get around to it, but they still got saved. Luke 7:37-50. You don't have to panic. We're not going to read all those verses. All right? Luke 7:37-50. I will give you the story in a nutshell. This lady was a sinner. I mean, she'd been participating in lots of sins. But she came into a house where Jesus was, and she had an alabaster box of ointment, let's say perfume. She broke it, poured it on his feet, and was washing his feet with her hair. He said in verse 48, and he said unto her, thy sins be forgiven. He didn't say, hey, let's go get baptized. He just said, hey, your sins be forgiven. Verse 50, and he said unto the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. So in context, in Luke 7, 37 through 30 or 50, this lady never was baptized. Now, she may have got baptized later. We'll have to ask when we get to heaven. But according to here, Jesus said, go ahead. Go on back home. Go in peace. Your sins be forgiven. Luke 18, 35 through 43, a blind man. In context here, he was blind. He was asking for alms, and he heard a crowd, and he's, you know, paraphrasing here, what's the ruckus? And they said, Jesus is passing by. He said, hey, son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me. And so Jesus didn't come. And so he screamed a little louder and a little louder. And they said, hey, calm down. And so in verse 42, it says, and Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. So he healed him of his ailment. But then he also says, thy faith has saved thee. So this man went home being able to see, and he was saved and never got baptized. Luke 18, 13 through 14, the publican was saved. And he cried, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, and there was no mention of baptism. Luke 23, 39 through 43, the thief on the cross. We know the story. The woman was like, if you're the Son of God, get us out of here, get us down, let's go our way. The other side, you know, Jesus, I believe you're Jesus. Remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom. And he said, today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't say, hey, Roman soldier, come here. Take him down, let him get baptized because he wants to go to heaven. He didn't. He just said, today you'll be with me in paradise. So salvation is a gift, not a price that can be earned. John 1:12 says this, but as many as received him, it didn't say as many got baptized, many as received him, to them gave him the power to become the sons of God, even that believed on his name. So don't take obscure verses. This is number 4. Don't take obscure verses and try to contradict all the clear ones that I just said. Because I'm going to show you 2. I'm not going to take the time. There's several in the Bible that does have the word baptism in it. But if you look at it in context, and even in the own verse itself, it's not a part of salvation. So don't take obscure verses that you're like, where we just saw how many. Plain, simple. Believe on Him, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on Him, and you can go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Not a mention of baptism. I think it's probably like 20 verses that we just read. There's one in Mark 16:16. It says this, he that believeth and is baptized. Listen to the rest of it. Shall be saved. But he that believeth not, and it doesn't say it, and not be baptized, but it says, but he that believeth not shall be damned. It didn't talk about the baptism when it was talking about you're going to have to die and go to hell. So yes, I think you should. And I believe Jesus says you should. And the Bible says that we should. But it's not a part of salvation. They did not do anything, or didn't say anything about being baptized to keep them from being damned. It said, if you don't believe, you're going to be damned. So you don't have to be baptized to help you believe. We just read John 3:36, John 3:18, John 3:16, John 3:14. All you have to do is believe. Here's my second one. Acts 2:38. Acts 2:38 says this, repent and be baptized. Everyone, and this is what people just run right by. Repent and be baptized. That's how you get to heaven. So it's right here in Acts 2. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. So the repent's not for the remission of sins. The baptism's not for the remission of sins. It's the believing in Jesus for the remission of sins. Why? Because Hebrews 9:22 clearly says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So I can get baptized till I'm pruny. I mean, I look really, really old. I've gotten baptized so many times. That will not remit my sins. I have to have the blood applied. So don't take a little obscure verse that says, oh, repent and be baptized to get to heaven. Oh, believe and be baptized to get to heaven. Because there's 20 other ones that just says believe. So I understand that's confusing. And that's what the devil will do with it. He will magnify it. There's been religion started on those 2 verses. But if we believe that, just like I told you, I got saved at 10. I've sinned lots since I've been 55. Did I have to get saved again?
No.
What did I have to do? I had to remember 1 John 1:9. If I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Just like all of us when we were born that day physically, the nurse probably gave you your first bath. All right? She wiped you down, held you up by your foot, maybe popped you, made you cry. That was your first bath. I hope that hasn't been your last bath. All right? You probably would not be allowed in here if it was, because I mean, you would be reeking. So same thing, you get saved, the blood of Christ remits your sins. You sin the next day, you better 1 John 1:9 it. Take a bath, get cleaned. So, but if we said baptism was the way to heaven, we'd have to get baptized to get saved, and then every time we sinned, we'd have to come right back in here. I don't have time to do that. All right? I know my wife sins all the time. I'd have to be baptizing her every 15 minutes. Oh, I thought you had slipped out. Sorry. Yeah. I would have to get baptized minutely, all right? Much less weekly or daily. So it's not the baptism. So, last one, and I'll be finished. Nicodemus in John chapter 3. A lot of people use this. Jesus told Nicodemus, you got to be born of the water, and you got to be born of the Spirit, or you can't go to heaven. And that's what Jesus said. But in context, Nicodemus, very smart man, very intelligent, asked Jesus, how do I get to heaven? And Jesus said, you must be born again. He didn't say you have to be baptized. He didn't say you have to keep all the commandments. He said, you must be born again. I can see how that would be confusing. Here's an intelligent man. He said, you got to be born again. Paraphrasing, but Nicodemus said, you mean, I'm an adult, I'm grown, I have to shrink back down, go back into my mom's womb, and be born again? That's what Nicodemus asked him. And Jesus said, no. You got to be born of the water once, and you got to be born of the Spirit once. And he was indicating that you have to be physically born. And I believe they call this, when your mom's water broke, then you came. That's how you become born of the water. Physically, you're here. I have a birthday, October 23rd. 56 is right around the corner. All right. So, but when I was 10 years old, I got born spiritually. What did I do? I confessed that I was a sinner. I believed that Jesus was God's Son, that He died on the cross, shed His blood, paid for my sins. I asked Him for that gift. I got saved. I got born again. Now, I did get baptized, but not to get saved. But that's what we see here, that Nicodemus was asking Jesus. So, biblical viewpoint on baptism. And we're going to do it here in just a second. So we're all for it. We're actually a Baptist church. But we're not going to tell you you have to be baptized to get to heaven. We are going to tell you that, hey, you got to believe that Jesus was God's Son. You got to believe He died on the cross and paid for your sins. He rose again, and now He's in heaven. And if you'll accept Him as your personal Savior, you can go there too. Amen. After you do that, we're going to say, basically that's a picture. It's got a nice picture frame. What Elijah and Morgan are going to say, they're not going to say anything. I'll say it all. But what they're saying to you is, I believe Jesus died. He was buried. But I believe He rose again. That's what they're going to tell you. Then spiritually speaking, they're going to say, I'm going to die to my old nature. This thing inside of me that makes me want to sin. I'm going to raise up and try my best to live like Christ. That's the picture. They're identifying with Christ. My wife is probably mad at me right now because I said she sinned all the time. And if I could, I would take this off. I can't right now. Oh, there it comes. Whew. Better lay off. I just took it off. Am I still married to her? Yes. Why? Because I made vows. I told her. But I wear this to let all y'all know. I'm married. I'm identified with her. That's all that is. Not to get you married, but to identify. Not to get you saved, but to identify. So let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Y'all can go ahead and go and start getting ready for baptism. Brother Derek, Miss Tiffany's going to come. We're going to have an invitation. Again, there's several people here that I do not know. I would not want to embarrass anybody. But I want everybody to know that they're going to heaven. So if while you were listening to that, you was like, I haven't done that. And you would like to. We can show you how to do that. You can even speak to me afterwards if it's embarrassing for you. I don't mind showing you afterwards. So let's all stand. If there's anybody here today that do not know for 100% sure you're going to heaven, please come. Let somebody show you that. If you need to pray about anything, please come and pray. The altar's open. Sit there.